Agenda is citizen comment. Mike McTernan, attorney for the Potawatomi, has asked me if he could make a little longer presentation. He indicated approximately 15 minutes. And he did make a short presentation the other night, but did not get through all of his points. I told him that it was fine with me unless some committee member had an objection, in which case we'll take a vote on it. All right. All right, is Supervisor Franco coming back?
Yeah, Frank.
We believe you.
They started
All right, why don't we just then take a quick informal vote that we allow Mr. He can, of course, speak in citizens. We don't have a limit on that. We generally suggest no more than 5 minutes, but he would like to say, I have approximately 15 minutes.
Is there an opportunity to discuss this?
Yes, absolutely.
I just think this is such a pressing issue, that an important issue for our county, that it would be worth hearing people out and to give a little extra time when people need it. Especially subject matter experts would be helpful.
All right, further discussion? John?
I think 10 minutes would be sufficient.
All right. Anyone else?
So 10 minutes for citizens' comments, is that what we're talking about?
We're talking about a more formal presentation by Mike McTernan, who represents the Potawatomi in opposition to the proposal before us. John suggested 10. Mike suggested to me no more than 15. What's your pleasure? All right, we'll first vote on 15. If that doesn't pass, then 10. If that doesn't pass, it's what everybody else votes. All right, so first 15, chair votes aye.
Aye.
No.
No.
Aye.
Aye. You get 15 minutes.
Do you want me to go last? Would it be easier for you to go for me to go last? Your pleasure.
No, I think we should do this in citizen comments. And
I know, but you want me to be the last citizen?
Oh.
Do I have to get everyone else?
Right now is fine.
Oh, that's fine. Easy to do.
And when you do citizen comments, if your preference is to stand at the end of the table, or if you'd like to sit, that's fine too.
First, I appreciate you indulging me with a little bit of time here, and I hopefully won't even take all 15 minutes. Again, my name is Mike McTernan, 6633 Green Bay Road, Kenosha, Wisconsin. I represent the Potawatomi, and I represent a lot of other property owners in Kenosha that have a significant vested interest on what is happening in the county and in the city. One of the things that I wanted to present to you, and I urge all of you to look at it, comments were made at the county board meeting as a whole that there's this issue that an IGA can be denied by the county and leave the county out high and dry without payment. And reference was made to this case in Spokane, Washington against the Spokane tribe. I urge you, it take you 2 seconds of Google search, Spokane tribe, and go look at the history. In a nutshell, what the courts happened after years of litigation and years of dispute, the courts ordered that the county, which the tribe was arguing, well, we're not going to pay them if we don't have an IGA with them. The court said, no, you're going to pay the county for the costs they've incurred in order to support you. That's the whole part of the BIA process, is to make the county whole. And that's what the Menominees are offering to do, and that's what I understand the county's looking to do, is just to make the county whole. So the idea that you can have no IGA, which even the Potawatomis aren't suggesting that, they're suggesting just take your time and examine this. But I urge you, just look at that issue. The next, and this is really pressing to finance, is what happens if the tribe can't pay? The county has priority lien rights, as you know, when you deal with real estate owners like myself. I don't pay my county taxes. You have superior liens over my creditors. That's just the way the law works in Wisconsin. Well, a number of tribal casinos have failed over time in the United States. It'll happen, it's happened a lot in the past, it'll happen a lot in the future. And this, of course, leaves you and leaves general creditors with no recourse. Municipalities are not, they're used to having priority. They're used to having priority claims, especially tax claims under state law.
This priority does not exist and does not protect the tribal payments to the county. And it certainly doesn't protect you under the IGA because you're simply dealing with a breach of contract dispute. I brought this up to Mr. Gersten and I've explained to him in addition, the county needs language in the IGA to make certain that you are protected. I'd be suggesting that you have, you know, and you look at, in addition, the Seminoles are going to be paying the bills, not the Menominee. They're the ones operating the casino. So the priority language would be in the IGA simply to protect them and require the provision in your management contracts with the Seminole that the county is paid first and foremost after taxes and financing. That would be some way to get you in a better position so you can make sure you're paid. I turned to and done another Google search. 2012 amended tribal compact gaming between the state of California and the Coyote Valley Band of Pomod Indians. There, tribe went under. What did the tribe do? They went to the county. They said, we're able to pay the state bills. We're able to pay them on time under our compact, but under IGA, we don't have any money to pay you. And we're going to go under. And we're going to close our doors. What happened? They sat back down, they renegotiated, and the county got a much smaller stake in the pie because the county, the tribe didn't have enough money. So just please look at that. Again, another facility, it's easy to Google, search it. You guys can do your homework. I don't need to waste your time here. The next, and I implore and I believe the Menominee is doing their damnedest to make certain they correct the language in their adopted ordinance tonight. But I really need you to take a look. And this is what I think pulls at some of the concerns that legislation that I couldn't get over last night was, you know, they're adopting language. I did a comparison. Here are all the changes to the ordinance that are being made today. All of these. They're all changed. Have you guys had a chance to look at that? I know legislation hasn't, because you don't even know what it is. And last night we were told they're even making more changes today, which is fine. It's got to be done. And no one's claiming that it's nefarious. It's just a question of how can you vote on a compact when you don't have the documents in order? Let's, for example, you can go look it up. I'm not going to waste your time, but look at 4.05b2. It's intended to keep surrounding buildings and structures in harmony. 4.05b2. The Menominee changed the language to say, the location and orientation of building elements shall respect the orientation of surrounding buildings or structures within the trust lands. Your ordinance doesn't say that. City ordinance doesn't say that. Because they got to respect all the neighbors. This now is completely put it on its head, and with the inclusion of within the trust lands, clearly indicates the Menominee interest to construct on its lands alone does not take any consideration of any other building around it. And because it's on a Menominee trust land, and that's all they can do. I'm not saying, again, it's nefarious, but I think it goes on. If you look at B4, the materials and design of buildings and structures, those structures should complement the building or area around it. But in the new language, it says within the trust lands. Again, these are subtle changes. I'm not saying they're bad, but you have to understand you're losing permitting process, a city has, and they surrender it. But all these applicable Kenosha sections and county sections now are no longer applicable. The next, I know you guys have in your contract, you're going to collect sales tax. It's under section 1A, page 4 of the compact, and you can look at it. And it clearly says, the county shall provide to the Kenosha facility the services that are usually and customary provided to the county to any other commercial enterprise, including law enforcement, streets, highway, maintenance, blah, blah, blah. We know what it says. However, one of the big keys you have in your exhibits is you're going to pay sales tax. Well, when sales catch could trigger is when the hotel and the other items and everything gets built up. But we have no idea when that's going to happen. I mean, I could show you what they built in Gary. They built a big plan. They're going to do a hotel. They do the casino. They're going to do the venue. And all that's going to create a lot of sales tax that you guys would be getting if they had all these things. Look what they built in Gary. They just have a casino. The same in Hard Rock. They have big splashy explosions. They're going to build these buildings and build these hotels and these casinos and these other items. They're in a strip mall. That's all they're doing right now, which is fine. They're doing their job, but they're owners and operators of those two places. They're just going to be operating in Kenosha. where do you think the next hotel's going? Do you think it's coming to Kenosha, or do you think it's going to go to Gary? So I'd be doing if I'm a businessman. I build it where I'm already running. And then I go to Rockford, and then I come to Kenosha. Now, you can look at that same section, the county shell. And I turn to one issue. Who's going to bear the cost for the infrastructure supporting this project? Now, unlike traditional developments, in development agreements that I'd enter with clients, it all be spelled out. The two IGAs, both the county and the city, they're very unique, but they say the same thing. Under the county's IGA and the sales tax exhibit F, it says the Menominee will pay the portion of the sales tax collected to the county to be earmarked for infrastructure improvements. However, three questions. What infrastructure improvements? Do you have any idea? You have no clue, because you haven't seen the developer's agreement, or you haven't seen the impact analysis or the traffic analysis. What's the cost of these infrastructure improvements? And more importantly, well, the amounts that you collect on the sales tax, are they going to be enough to cover this? Again, these questions are, of course, not answered. I'm going to give you a little handout that sort of sets forth this, and I really want you to take time over the weekend to look at it, and I'll give it to you. And you can look at the analysis that I did, and it sets forth and explains everything. The next. And I've mentioned this slowly, and I'm almost done, so hopefully I can get done and get out of here quickly. Right size and the right amount of land to place in trust. The red is what they want to put into trust. The gaming compact only requires you to put the casino, that little red dot. If you only had that going on, and I know the city is in charge of the starting point, and you're taking the lead back end of it, but if you only had the casino in trust, you'd have permitting processes, you'd have sales tax collections, you'd have a hook into the hotel and the venue. You don't here. Let's just say that you did, and compare to say, okay, well, they want it in trust. Okay, let's do it in trust. Let's put everything they need in trust. Here's 60 acres. Here's the amount of land they need if they do the same thing they did in Gary, if they did the same thing they did in Rockford. They only use 34.4 acres based on my estimate when I looked at those maps, nothing more. What's going to go in the other areas of the property? I don't know. I'll give you this handout too so you can look at it over the weekend. And then what's the rush? My last item. What is the rush? The fast tracking of projects can result in a lack of reviewable information to base decisions on. They give you limited accountability, and the city and county can be left contributing to the inevitable fixes. And I bring your history back, and most of you know where I'm going with this. Dairyland. Let's talk about it. The dog track let's go to the dog track. In January of 1989, Dairyland submitted its application to the Racing Board. The project was to go on 240 acres. The Racing Board signed off on the environmental assessment in April of 89. They didn't mention anything about a landfill that was on the property. They didn't highlight any of the significant wetlands when they submitted that application. They only granted the license a few months later in May of 1989. In the June 1989 hearing before the board, the staff confirmed to them in their findings of no significant impact report that Dairyland was withdrawn because the traffic flow they finally uncovered would exceed air quality. They didn't have it before. As a result, the board demanded a complete report on their desk at the next meeting. They met. For the first time, the Dairyland landfill was released and discussed. The board told Dairyland they had environmental concerns. They had significantly to modify the size of the proposed site, and they needed to do something to protect and preserve the wetlands. They affirmed granting the license. They added a number of conditions to the Dairyland site because they knew they were worried about it violating these issues during construction. They granted the license, mandated that the track be open for business by January of 1990. Very quick turnaround. They ordered the track to comply with all applicable environment laws. The dog track was mandated to provide regular construction updates. The city and town then annexed the land. It all came into the city, July of 1989. And in record time, they moved it, but it already appeared earth movement had been done. Between July of 89 and June of 90, the dog track was constructed in a very fast period of time. The road construction plan for the application was then rejected by the DOT when they finally got around to looking at it. During that same period of time, they got their license, which included access roads to the track. The dog track, as we all remember, I was out of college, going to law school, or getting ready to go to law school time. I was in graduate school. They got sued. There were competing dog tracks who didn't get licensed sued the Dairyland Group. The dog track was also subject to John Doe criminal investigation on ownership issues dealing with the licensing. The dog track had stormwater flow that flowed into Highway K, flowed into my client's property that he's still dealing with to this day, and other neighboring properties. Construction defects lingered, and in 1995, when the Attorney General got involved, and they sued Dairyland for non-payment of bills over the state related to the construction defects. Totally complicate matters. This is when the Kenosha Airport was being expanded, and the two projects created an unpermitted storm pond resulting on the northeast corner of the property. We all know the history. 9 years later, Dairyland closed. And Dairyland, the property was subject to several inquiries, including the Nominees looked at it, but it wasn't until 2017 when it was purchased that the landfill that they finally acknowledged is being remediated and that's being cleaned up. Thorough project review is essential to ensure the costs are not unjustly borne by the city and the county. That's all I think anyone is asking you. Why do we not look at those costs? Look at the environmental, look at the traffic, and look at the downstream flooding, and look at the air quality. That's what the community is just simply looking for. That's what my client just wants to do. As he has over $30 million invested across the street, he is investing an enormous amount in this community and wants to make sure the community is protected. That's it. He's not asking for the project denied. He's just asking, take your time and look at all these things. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And Terry and the rest of you guys, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll give you some handouts at the end.
All right.
At the end of the day.
You want to just pass them around right now?
Yeah, I will. I'll let you can get other people to talk. Okay. Let me get this out.
All right. Citizen comments begin. And be sure and state your name and your address, please.
Hi folks, my name is Randy Shane, my wife Cindy. We are at 7328 148th Avenue, that's the Strawberry Creek neighborhood. And about 20 years ago, I spoke out against the casino that was proposed for the Dairyland area there. I lived in Whitecaps at the time. The reasons I had for opposing a casino there then are the reasons I have now. Those are, it's right near, within a stone's throw of established neighborhoods with families. Do we want a casino in this type of area? Secondly, and I won't go very long at all, what is Kenosha? Are we a casino destination? I thought we were a town of hardworking, middle-class, essentially, people in a wonderful community with great faith, communities and athletics, and just a wonderful place to raise a family. So again, what are we? Are we an entertainment district or a destination? Are we Vegas Midwest? So what are we going to be? And then the idea that we really need this money. I don't know if any of you are looking like, wow, there's a lot of money going to come in here from this casino. The I-94 corridor is getting developed very rapidly, as you all know. It's a prime location. These properties eventually will be purchased by a business who will set down roots, will build something, run it, you'll get tax revenue, or we'll get tax revenue for this county and city. So, and my final point is, living pretty close there, I'm concerned about my property values. As many of you, your property is a very important part of your portfolio. It's how you save money or acquire wealth. And I am quite concerned, being in that area, the increased traffic and issues with potential crime. We already have a little crime in a couple of the hotel areas on that strip. I don't know where that's going. So I'm going to urge you to deny this request. Let it go somewhere else. I don't see Kenosha as a destination for that. I mean, let's open up a brothel and opium den. I mean, is that what we're going to do, or are we going to be what we are? A nice Midwestern city that has all the amenities to raise a family and enjoy a nice way of life. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion, citizen comments?
One of each.
Hi, my name is Ryan Molinaro. I live at 16807 60th Street, right there on K, just down from where you want to build this casino, and I oppose it as well. I can't agree with this gentleman here. I frequent Strawberry Creek. It's not too far from my house, so I can only imagine how it's going to affect people who are living in that neighborhood, raising a family, also with me here. I did a little economic research today, and bringing in a gambling casino into towns like ours has a positive impact in spending and jobs and money, that tax revenue that you guys are really hoping for, but it's a very small impact. However, you know, I want us to focus on the increased crime that it could bring. Like the gentleman said, that strip of road already does have some crime at those hotels. Where are those people going to migrate to? Are they going to migrate to the casino? That's going to create more of an addiction. So I think we need to look at statistics as far as crime and addiction that it can bring to the area. And where I live on the strip of K, over the last few years, there have been 3 separate traffic incidents that have related in deaths on Highway K. Over the past few times alone, there have been drunk drivers. So I think that'll just bring up how many more drunk drivers would we have, like leaving the casino, people who like text, that creates a lot of crashes as well. And there's also been a death to a construction worker who was hit on K as well. So I want us to think about the traffic that it's gonna bring, you know, and it's already a very dangerous road right now. Bringing any additional traffic would make it even worse, especially with people coming to the casino who may not be familiar with the area. And I want to know, before we approve this, have we done any traffic studies? We've already expanded Highway 50 because we've already seen what we think the traffic's going to be over the next decade. And this is just going to create to that. And what kind of environmental impacts will this have on our community? That's something I want to think of as well. And just in closing, again, it's important to note that the impact of casinos economic growth and the money avenue that we're going to make is going to be relatively small. So we're going to go through all this work, spend all this money, and we're going to get nothing for it as a city. If anything, it's going to cost us money over the next decade. And all of you sitting in this chair won't be here, but my generation will, and my children will, and I don't want to get stuck with the bill. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Citizen comments. Anyone else?
Yes, sir.
Please. Step up so we don't waste time.
I'm buried in the corner.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
Behind me? Okay. Good evening. My name is Pamela Mundling. I live at 7327 11th Avenue, just down the street here in Kenosha. I keep asking some questions, and the answers really haven't come out yet. First of all, it was announced around Halloween, and we've got to have a decision before Thanksgiving. Why are we in such a rush to do this? I realize the casino project has been around in some way, shape, or form since 1998. And it's been rehashed, and at one point there was even going to be a water park they were proposing for the entertainment complex. That's not even on the table because we're talking about half the amount of land. We're talking about leading off, the one thing that's consistent, we're leading off with the casino, and if that takes off, then we'll talk about doing some other stuff there on the land. Hotels, entertainment, stuff like that. When I was a project manager, one of the things I used to lead off with when I was presenting a project is a picture, because a picture is worth 1,000 words. We have yet to see a picture of what this is going to look like. Is it going to be cool? Is this going to be an eye candy casino that's going to make people want to go in, or is this going to be the dreaded slots in a box? We don't know yet. And Thanksgiving is coming up. Again, the traffic problems, the parking across a busy street, and I ask this question again and again and again. We have Parkside, we have Carthage, we have Herzing, we have Gateway, we have other smaller colleges around this area, in this county, and yet we're trying to attract a job whose base pay is going to be $20 an hour, probably with benefits, not $20 an hour plus benefits for the average pay. We wonder why our college graduates are coming to school here and then leaving us. We're not doing anything to keep them here. Let's look at attracting a more technical type of business than this. I think Kenosha can do that. We've got a great location. We're a wonderful community. I'm a transplant. I love it here. Please, let's at least slow this down, if not stop it altogether. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further comments?
Hello, my name is Axel Segovia. I live at 1850 17th Avenue in Kenosha. I spoke the last two nights, and I'm still going to speak, that I recommend to the board that we don't have this casino. I agree with what statements have been made before, that Kenosha is not a casino city, and the fact that we already have casinos within a short distance of here, we're just going to end up becoming more noise and a big cacophony of all this stuff that's going on. Are people really going to come to Kenosha just because we have a casino? I don't think so. And when they were talking about the amount of people from Kenosha who will be spending their money, like, how much is our citizens wasting their money at a casino really worth to this city? They said something like 6%, but that's 6% of our community going to a casino, and there's really nothing that's stopping them from spending their entire paycheck or even taking out loans and getting themselves into gambling debt. And we're willing to do that just so that we can have some extra money for what? Some of the projects that we want to go on in the city. And there's a lot, I mentioned as of yesterday, like with the schools. Some of this money is supposed to be going to the schools, but people are taking kids out of the schools regardless. We have issues with the schools closing because people are taking them out, because the education system that we have in place is faltering, and people would rather take them out of our town and take them somewhere else. So throwing money at all these different things isn't going to fix it. The casino, with the income we're getting from it, I don't think is going to fix the issues that our city has. If anything, I think it's going to become an eyesore. And I saw the screenshots where this casino is going to be right next to a residential neighborhood. I mean, to me, Kenosha is a family city. And nobody's going to be taking their family to a casino. You're not taking little kids to a casino. And yes, there's going to be a resident and a venue, but those are going to come after the casino. And we don't know when that's going to happen. So it's just going to be this eyesore for the city for years. And I even had a conversation with my wife the other day as we were discussing this, and I'll end on this point, is that as much as I'm opposed to this, and we were talking about, I'd be okay with the hotel, I'd be okay with the venue, but I'm adamantly opposed to this casino. And she asked me that even if, like, I refuse to step foot on it. If there's a casino, I refuse to go anywhere near that property. And she goes, what if there's even, I'm a Def Leppard fan. So she asked me, if Def Leppard plays at the venue, would you go to see it? And I said, no. I will travel out of state to go see them if it means having to go to this casino, go anywhere on this property for a casino. That's how opposed I am to this. I will not do it, and I won't go anywhere near it. And I've heard a lot of other citizens voice very similar opinions, and I've heard very few people really in favor of it. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Further citizen comments? Further citizen comments?
My name is Colleen Fish. I'm from Bristol. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I guess I should say your vote is going to irrevocably change Kenosha County, irrevocably. And the population most affected by this, west of the interstate, most of that population has no idea that this is even proposed, let alone that it's being snuck through right before the holidays. Most of those people have had no input, and most are unaware of it even occurring. I just spoke with a developer who is building multi-unit buildings within a half a mile of this casino, had never even heard of it. And this is a real estate developer. So that's how quiet this is back, which is really disturbing.
if the people of Kenosha voted to allow a casino, that would be completely different. But the population is completely different than it was the last time any population even had a vote. The population's completely turned over. We're a different city. We're a different county. And basically, at this point, this entire deal has been negotiated without voter input and without the relevant information that we would need to have to even have an opinion as a citizen. The specifics of this project are unknown to the people voting on it and unknown to the citizens. What is the hurry? Why is there a hurry? If people support it, that's fine. But I don't know any Central High School parents who support it. Don't know any. They're all horrified. So my question is, why hasn't there been a referendum for the people who are having this plunked next to their homes on Strawberry Creek? And the project as described sounds like a truck stop casino. Sounds like a casino. It's a box on the side of the highway with a lot of parking and slots. We're not getting a theater. We're not getting a Hard Rock concert venue. We're not getting a hotel. We might, if they make enough money. So basically, we're getting a casino box, the lowest type of casino you can get. And you're voting on an incomplete document with a lot of legal unknowns. Why would you sign away the future of our entire county based on unknowns and a contract that holds you to unknown commitments? And since when do we approve blank checks on behalf of the taxpayers? So I guess I'm saying, please protect the county. Wait until all of the information, all of the impact studies have been done before we go ahead and start approving stuff. And then I guess lastly, I would say, why a vice business? Why would we be encouraging a vice business after 20 years of working so hard with CAVA to bring in new business and bring in professional business and to improve the environment here in Kenosha County? To go to the lowest possible form of business is just depressing. Vice businesses like casinos drive away business, and they drive away professionals, and they drive away families. So basically, you're getting this hot casino money, but you're losing five times more future development. So you're taking the 10 cents and you're losing $2. It makes no sense. Long term, it just doesn't make any sense. Sorry, trying to go quick. Vice is wealth repellent. Casinos are wealth repellent. They drive away future investment and they drive away the type of people that we are hoping to attract to our community. As residents, what we're getting is we're getting dramatically reduced property value. We're getting, on average, a 30% increase in violent crime, not to mention the sex trafficking that's already hot in our area. Boy, that'll boom when those casinos open. And then we're getting a bad reputation. Now Kenosha, instead of being a neat place to raise a family, a great place to have a business, a great place to put up your warehouse or to put up your manufacturing facility, now we're going to be a garbage community. Oh, that's the place with the casino. And when the drunks in Waukegan are done at the Waukegan Casino, they can drive here and finish up at our casino. And they'll be driving lost in our neighborhoods in Bristol and Paris and Brighton and Salem Lakes when their GPS is off. And we're going to have to deal with that. And nobody's thinking about this stuff. It's awful. So, thank you. I'll shut up now, but I do hope you'll put the brakes on this. I'm from Crook County. I know it when I smell it. And this reeks. This entire thing reeks. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Further citizen comments? Further citizen comments? All right, seeing none, citizens' comments are closed, and we'll resume the agenda. I have no reports. Do any committee members? All right, very good. The minutes are before you of a number of dates. I assume you've read them, and is there a motion?
So moved.
Approve all?
Yes.
Okay. Discussion? All right, seeing none, all those, is there something?
I wanted to emphasize all of them.
Yes. Got it. All right, again, any discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Next item is a public works proposition, Matt Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you this evening is a resolution authorizing Director of Parks to apply for grant funding from the DOT, which will be used for completing phase one, design and construction of Midwest Interstate Trail. Some of the committee members may remember that we did a joint celebration with Thielen Sand and Gravel, McHenry County and Kenosha County to start what's considered a comprehensive total of an 8-mile off-road multi-use path project. It's really an intergovernmental relationship with the public-private side of it with Thielen Sand and Gravel to utilize their property to save on construction costs, to put together connection spurs between Illinois, Kenosha County, and into Racine County. We were able to receive funding through the DOT for a feasibility study, which is ongoing as we speak. And due to DOT having other grant opportunities, we're moving forward and requesting tonight authorization to apply for grant funding for phase one of the 4-mile stretch within Kenosha County for design and construction. It's an 80-20 split, 80 being on DOT, 20 being Kenosha County. The total cost from the Kenosha County side of things would be covered under parkland development, so technically no county bonding would be considered for this. So before you is authorization and approval to apply for that grant and if awarded to proceed with the design and construction of phase one.
All right, discussion.
Here. So the 20% from the county is going to be all dollars and it will not be like man hours or things like that?
Correct, dollars.
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay.
Is this an appropriation? Are we approving a budget amendment?
There is a budget modification included with this.
So we're amending the 2024 or 23 budget?
2024, it should be. It's parkland development, so that automatically rolls from one year to another.
Right, so yeah. So this is not just approving or authorizing to get a grant, to actually amending the budget and allowing this expenditure.
That is correct.
Yeah, I yield.
All right, any further discussion? Move to motion, approve. John? Move to approve.
Second.
Bill? All right, further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So before the board, 2/3 roll call vote.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, next item is the resolution authorizing the sale of highway S remnants. Who's going to do that? John, come here. See you then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So do they have a big agenda today?
This resolution is to review
is there a big
whether
agenda
the committee wishes to approve the sale of a parcel, which is a remnant parcel from the Highway S project, to an individual, or to a company in this case, Maxim Sheens LLC, has offered to pay $20,000 for this remnant, which is approximately 0.63 of an acre. Back in January of 2022, there was a resolution number 93 authorizing disposal of 12 remnant parcels. This is one that's combined 5 and 6 from phase one of that project. It was to be disposed by negotiation with an adjacent property owner or marketed to sale, subject to board county board approval. I've had discussions with Metz Machines ongoing, some back and forth. They have at this point offered a price of $20,000. That's what they're comfortable offering. And so our option is we can sell this to them at that price or stand back and further negotiate or discuss more or hold on to it and the county will simply have it to maintain and just keep it as it is.
All right, discussion. What do you think it's worth, John, or what's your recommendation?
Well, the problem is, it's given setback requirements and some of the land being floodplain, the building envelope is very small, so there isn't really much other use for this, frankly. And
As you know, this is on the corner of S and EA. EA was also rerouted. So ingress and egress, if it were sold as a standalone lot to someone, the building envelope is small, so I don't know what purpose it would have for that type of a buyer. But even so, the access would have to be through EA, Highway EA, and being so close to the intersection, that is not viewed as preferable or particularly safe. That's why giving it to an adjacent owner would be appropriate. There is one other adjacent owner, it's a farm, but this 0.63 acres is really not even, according to his planning and development, enough room to turn around farm equipment, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to the other adjacent owner. So I think the best value would be to give the adjacent property owner, in this case, Ben's Machines, the opportunity to buy this property at the price that they are comfortable doing that at. They could then rezone it from the current B2 to B5, and they could add parking or find other uses for the property. It wouldn't require an additional ingress or egress because they have the adjacent parcel to the north. So that's what I would like to say.
Bill?
So is this parcel contiguous to their property?
It is.
But only a portion of it is usable by them or anyone due to floodplain considerations, is that correct?
I think there's some limits because of floodplain, yes.
That's my question.
Further discussion? Is there a second?
I was noticing that this went through Public Works and Finance in the last session. What looks like here?
No, I think it was a communication item, and it will be going to public. I signed it here,
and so did Bill Brady, was the chairperson of Public Works. So it had to been, and had been the last session.
I think the resolution that allowed for the sale of the parcels for Highway F is what you're looking at.
Yes.
That was what went through. It was just documentation to accompany this.
Yeah, that was in 2022 when it was.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, that did go through, and that was what allowed us to market it.
Okay.
Signature page for this.
Okay. It's just taking a while, I guess. Okay.
Yes.
No comment. All right. Any other discussion on it? All right, seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Passes. All right, will you be there at the meeting to talk about this?
The board meeting? The board meeting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Circulate the resolution. That brings us to item number 8, discussion possible action on the IGA with Menominee Tribe. Discussion.
I've got a few things. I'm really uncomfortable with this incomplete documentation that's going on here. I'm also uncomfortable with the amount of money. Well, we're trying to figure out how to make this whole, but we really don't know how much money is going to be taken out of our economy just in Kenosha and funneled into the casino and then moved out of our area. We don't know how much that is, and how do we make the businesses that aren't going to be receiving that money instead, how do we make that whole? Another thing. And when they get up and running, the amount of money that's going to be coming into there and then leaving this is in the 90s percentile. It's a transfer of wealth in a huge way. And it's coming from the citizens. And while the government is receiving the things that they think they need, our people are not going to be getting the benefit of that. And so I'm really opposed to what's going on here, and just the lack of clarity to the agreement.
I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Anyone else? Go ahead.
I piggyback on what Supervisor Stocker just said. So far, it seemed like that the discussion largely has dealt with the potential macroeconomic consequences, good or bad, to the entire county. What I'm concerned about is that the microeconomic impact, in particular, as the supervisor of District 13, which is the district that this proposed development is going to take place, I'm concerned about property value decrease, to be honest with you. Everything that I've heard so far, constituents have emailed me, it's almost universally against it. And one of the common themes that I've heard has to do with the decrease in property value as an economic consideration. I've done a lot of looking, a lot of research over the past week, as much as I've been able to follow up on that. And at best, the numbers are mixed, but most of the stuff that I read showed that there is a decrease in property values for those homes that are close to, close proximity to the development, like within a mile or two. Well, the subdivision I live in, Strawberry Creek in particular, we had an HOA rep yesterday, and the day before, who came and talked, who said that he was concerned about that. And when this was done in 2004, when we had the last iteration in 2004, when we had a referendum, I believe it passed 56-44, somewhere around there. Well, I did a deep dive after that. Well, this was way back when. And in my area, and this was before Strawberry Creek, the Reserves, that new upscale apartment complex, Tyler's Ridge, and Kilbourne Woods. So this was probably, I don't know how many hundreds of houses before. I mean, probably thousands. It was 2-1 against in my district. I can't imagine if there was a referendum done now, and I know referendums can't be done anymore, but if it was done now, I would venture to say it would probably be 3/4 or more against. And so just that one issue alone, apart from some of the legitimate concerns people have come up with, you know, amendments, the document isn't completed yet, we don't know what we're dealing with, all sorts of other considerations, the social concerns. I can't sign off on this in good faith, because the constituents in my district certainly don't want it, and I think the concern over decreased property value is legitimate. So that's something that I can't get by. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion. Dave wants to
thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair to Court Counsel. So we've been through maybe 8 hours of meetings on this, and you've heard quite a bit. And we talked about Exhibit C quite a bit. We talked about how we're waiting for information from the city on Exhibit C. Is there anything you have heard or seen that where you would advise amendments to be made, or do you advise this committee that we could proceed with this intergovernmental agreement?
I believe you could proceed with the intergovernmental agreement. I've reviewed the draft as it stands. I'm anticipating we're going to have further information. It's my understanding the tribal legislature was supposed to be taking up tonight, but I also know they were waiting on some additional information from the city. But I've gone through the ordinances. First of all, the vast majority, if not all of them, deal with matters under the city control, right, so they don't directly impact the county. There's nothing in there that I saw that gives me any pause or any reason to believe that there is going to be substantial changes made from what we're seeing now to what is going to be approved. This is a group that we've been working with off and on for 2 decades, and I just don't In the abstract, would I rather have a finished document? Of course I'd rather have a finished document. In this particular context, based on what is being done, what is being still worked on, and what the ultimate aim of those ordinances are, which is to mirror what the city has to regulate certain aspects of the land use, the construction, etc. I don't have any hesitation saying that I believe the committee and the board could go forward as it stands.
Thank you. I have some more follow-up questions, if I may. So, you mentioned that a significant part of Exhibit C addresses items that are under the purview of the city. So, for example, we have a county zoning ordinance, but that applies to unincorporated areas.
Correct, or those areas that are choosing to adopt it, yes.
Yes. This is an incorporated area, and they impose their, we have no jurisdiction.
Correct.
Normally. So this is actually unusual, where we actually are signing off with some jurisdiction in a matter we normally don't have jurisdiction. Am I understanding that?
Yes, I think that's fair.
There are some matters that do relate to the county, for example, health.
Well, and then even there, my understanding is that they are meant to mirror the city's health ordinances, which although we enforce on the city's behalf, they are still the city's ordinances. They are empowering the tribal health officer to undertake certain actions that would be in concert with what the city would do if they had the jurisdiction.
Did you hear the comment about the succession of payment in the presentation under citizen comments today? Would it be appropriate to just ask for the Corp Council's thoughts on that?
You can ask. I don't know if that's something that I feel comfortable opining on in the spur of the moment. I would probably defer to the finance people, but I mean, it's certainly something that we can try and address for you.
Right. But that does, the way that's set up is the way it had been set up in the previous contract.
Correct.
Correct. And the county had approved that previously.
Correct.
Okay. So that's, that, may I ask questions of the status of some of the information? So, one of the bits of information was the environmental impact statement that was being done by the tribe. There is a suggestion that maybe we could get that before we have to decide on Tuesday. Is there a status where we can learn about that?
Economic impact statement?
There was environmental impact. If you had a draft, you discussed the draft in the presentation at the meeting.
Yeah, we talked about a draft on economic impact study.
Yeah.
The environmental assessment is underway, and it's not complete, but I will check with the council, with their attorney, to see if it's in a position to be reviewed. It's in separate different sections, right? As an example, there's the air quality, traffic,
right,
work, et cetera, et cetera. Some of those are still incomplete and still being worked, but I don't think the tribe, in subject to their council's approval, would have any problem giving what the draft documents are.
Can we get some of that before Tuesday?
I think so, yes.
I just remember it being discussed, and you mentioned that you may be able to provide that before we ultimately decide on Tuesday. And I actually referred a bit to that when I had worked on the three previous iterations of that, of this, we did that kind of a thing, and part of it I worked on personally, which was working with the state of Wisconsin implant, looking at the indirect impact on employment was part of what we looked at, and you reflected that in your presentation.
That's right.
So that, I think that would be of interest to the board if we could get that before we decide.
Sir, if I may, that specific section is part of the economic impact. We met legal counsel Wahomey, and I met with the consultant that's providing that. We have had received a draft. He is going to tighten that up and then have to be presented back to this board Monday. Plan to get back to you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, sir. That concludes my questions.
All right. Further discussion, Bill?
Not just the information that was brought forward this evening, but even last evening here in this very room, there was at least as many questions brought forward as there were answers, and that concerns me somewhat. Also concerning is the fact that the proposition before us, and I realize the City of Kenosha is the lead agency here, is the fact that these lands are going into trust, under tribal jurisdiction, basically for forever, to be a part of the sovereign nation. I didn't realize that in the documentation, as we look at it, that it could be done incrementally, where just the casino portion was in tribal jurisdiction, and then the other could come in as the development occurred. That was not even a thought. So why we have to act upon this in such short fashion is somewhat surprising. Maybe the city's had more time to deliberate this, maybe they've had time to vet it, but for our jurisprudence, for our time to look at this, it does seem very quick. It seems very rapid. I don't know if rapid is the best thing at this time. I have certain concerns about how fast this is progressing. That's my comment. I'll leave it at that.
Further discussion? Aaron?
Going on to Supervisor Grady's comment about first putting the casino into trust and then the other items later, can that be done? That's why I'm asking, because I thought only casino land could be put into trust. We don't have an attorney here, our outside counsel, so.
I will tell you that our outside counsel was asked this question. She said this is, in her experience, not at all unusual, because they want to be able to have control of the entire, to put it all in trust,
right.
Because they want to be able to have control of the full parcel, not just the footprint. When someone said to her that in Milwaukee, only the gaming floor for the Pottawatomie Casino is placed in trust and everything else is not, she was very surprised by that. She said that is an extraordinarily unusual occurrence in her experience.
Okay, was that put into trust only the gaming floor because there was no plans at the Pottawatomie because it was a bingo hall?
And again, I don't know.
And it wasn't supposed to be slots or anything like that? It was only a bingo hall at first?
I don't know. That may be, okay. But I don't know.
So, what Supervisor Grady said, we don't know if that's correct or not.
That only the...
That they can piecemeal put it into trust.
Right.
We don't know.
I can't answer that question. I will tell you that my learned guess is, and I would maybe defer to the representatives of the tribes or of Hard Rock, but my learned guess would be that it is an application to put the lands in trust. It is an application process that takes quite some time, and I would think that they would probably want to try and have what they think they're going to need go through the process one time. The agreement specifically indicates that they will not act to put anything else in trust without explicit permission from the county and the city, based on the IGAs.
Right, I understand that.
Yeah.
Because that was explained, but again, we don't know if it actually could be done.
We're
not given direction either way.
I can't answer that question, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I mean, because you don't know?
Because I don't know.
Right, that's okay. So, I don't even know, we don't even know if that's possible.
Right. This is another unanswered question.
Last night, there were questions about other exhibits that Patty had said that she was going to bring information. Do you have that, Patty?
I do have.
Can you share it, please?
The exhibit that was lunch in your packet was exhibit D.
D?
Yes. I struggled with exhibit D, as I stated last night. As we were finalizing things and comparing notes,
we realized there was nothing for Exhibit D, and Corporation Council reached out to the tribe to say, do you have an Exhibit D? And they said, no, that's something that the city and the county had in the old agreement. And so Corporation Council reached out to me and said, do you have an Exhibit D? And I said, no. And so I looked at the city agreement and realized that Exhibit D was an illustration of how the minimum payment would work. Sounds easy to put together, but I hesitated because for two reasons, well, maybe three. First was, in the city's version, it started with the title Schedule of Payments, which I felt was misleading. It's not a schedule of payments. It's how a hypothetical minimum payment would be addressed through the IGA, so people understand how the payments would be made. So after conversation with Lorna, he suggested that I put a disclaimer at the top and just say that this is not a projection, this is an illustration. So, okay, I go with that. Then I looked at the cities again, and again I was concerned because their first example showed net win in year one. And we don't anticipate net win in year one. It's been very clear that construction will take 18 months to 2 years. We expect the minimum payment in years one and two. So I can add that to my disclaimer. So, and then the third thing that gave me discomfort was that the city's illustration in both of them was that the net win came in higher than the minimum payment. And I thought, what is even the purpose? You aren't going to show the time that you need the minimum payment. So I redid it. There are three examples on this. There is a disclaimer at the top that this is just to give an illustration of how net payment would work, or how minimum payment would work. First illustration is in year one. Minimum payment for the county is $50,000. It would be prorated based on when the lands went into trust. So that is explained, and that illustration is done using the number of days that it is in trust divided by 5 times 50,000. That example comes out at about $47,000. Second example is where in year three, where we expect that there will be a net win payment. Again, these are not projections. In fact, these are the same dollar amounts the city had in theirs, and the same dollar amounts that were in the IGA back in 2004. As it turns out, thank you very much. So the calculation is shown. We get 1% of the net win. It's each quarter. So at the bottom, you see that calculation of net win payments for a total of $300,000 to the county. But in that year, our minimum payment is $500,000. So on the next page, it explains how that additional $200,000 would be paid out by February 14th of the following year, 45 days after the close of the year when the final accounting is done. And then example three, it goes from calendar year 9 to 10. The reason that is done is because twofold. Our percentage goes up to 1.33% in year 9. But in addition to that, the minimum payment then becomes subject to CPI adjustment. So it in year 9 goes up to $1 million and then is adjusted for CPI each year after. So this shows how that calculation would work. In this example, although that calculation is done and the minimum payment increases, the net win payment is also higher. So in this, the net win payment is higher than the minimum payment. So no additional payment is made at the end of the year. Each quarter the payment is higher. So that is what Exhibit D is. And that has been sent to Corp Council to incorporate into the final document.
Now, you gave us representative numbers, not actual.
Correct. They are. Yep.
Estimates.
No.
Do you have something with actual estimates? Because I personally think that the net wins will be higher than this in these numbers, so I'm just throwing that out there first. Actual numbers would be nice. Or estimated numbers, not actual.
Yes, I will.
Oh, okay.
I'll email this out after the meeting too.
Okay,
thank you.
Nope.
Excellent. Okay. So in front of you is, I actually originally had this all across 20 years on an 11 by 17 and instead said, let's put it on legal side and split it up. But it is a 20 year forecast. You can see highlighted in green is the minimum payment in year one and two, and I just took the full $50,000 in year one, doing no proration for this. Payments of net win would then begin when operations, when gaming begins, and I assumed that to be year three. The projected at that time, we would get 1% of the net win, and you can see that in the green going across till year eight. You'll notice in year nine, I dropped to the next line down because that's when the net win increases to 1.33%. So I have a subtotal for year 10, but then that continues at that 1.33% all the way through year 20 with a total for all 20 years there.
And that's the $64,251,427.
Correct.
As a round number.
As, in orange, I have the calculation of the tribal sales tax. Obviously, again, in year one and two, there's no sales. Then there were some projections provided. Those might be slightly different than what I saw in the PowerPoint, but again, sales tax payments are an estimate. But based on the numbers that I was using, in years three through eight, we get 75% of the 5.5%. So those are those numbers there. Again, I dropped down the line in year nine because at that time, our portion of the tribal sales tax becomes 25%. And although that is a decrease there, that's when our net win goes up. And the logic behind that is there's not much of a difference between us at 1% with 75%. It will vary based on what is actual gaming, what is actual sales, but in the projection calculations, there's not much difference between the two. But the tribal sales tax includes the restriction of using that towards infrastructure, and in the beginning, having that higher number made more sense, especially since there might be unexpected infrastructure needs in that area. But then going forward after year nine, we are getting a higher net win, lower sales tax, and the net win has more flexibility that can be used however the county needs. Also shown on here, you'll see in blue, that's the problem gambling match, $75,000 a year. That begins in year three or whenever gaming begins. So again, assuming that is in year three. And then in gray is the donation to the Human Services Building, which you'll see in year 9 and 10, and again in 11 and 12. That totals the $2.6 million. And as I had in one of the documents I sent you, that is the purchase price for the new Human Services Building. The Human Services Building will be the purchase price plus the improvements, but the actual purchase price was the $2.6. And since Human Services will be impacted by the casino, we felt this was an appropriate use of the one-time donation. So that is where we put it. Also in yellowish tan underneath the subtotals, I have the charitable purposes on behalf of the county. Those total $850,000 overall. They are spread out over a 10-year period. So I started in year three and ended in year 12 at $85,000 a year. That may not be the structure of those payments. And I have them outside of our subtotals because that money is not coming directly to the county. Those donations will be made on behalf of the county, but they will be made by either the tribe or by the Hard Rock towards charitable organizations in our community.
So what you're, so the 20-year total, like grand total, let's say, from all these line items of the net wins, the tribal sales tax, the problem gambling, and the donation to the Human Services Building, is that number in blue, the $81,765,458?
Yes, that does not include $850,000.
Right.
And again, keep in mind, it also does not include the donations to the schools which go through the city center.
That's right, I forgot about that. So, I'm trying to find the email that you sent yesterday.
I do have copies of that.
Which I printed out and left at home, which is not helpful. So, it's the casino impacts.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go through that, I guess? Because it's good to, I would just want to go, like, kind of compare these impacts with these year amounts to make sure we're good, that we are protected from the increase in expenses.
Now, again, these are estimates. This is each of the divisions we had discussions with them to determine what they felt their needs were. I'll start with number one. That wasn't a discussion with divisions. That was an estimate of what if this property were something other than it is. And I went through this in my narrative, but I'll go through it orally now. These parcels are currently held by an economic development branch of the Village of Bristol. Mm-hmm. So there is no assessed value, and we're currently not collecting any property tax on them. So it was difficult to say, what are we losing, when we had no idea. So I took a parcel to the south, and I took that assessed value, divided it by the number of acres, and applied that to each of the acres on this, and then calculated the mill rate that the county charged on that original parcel. So as mentioned last night, as vacant, the calculation is $58,000, almost $59,000. The first two lines on here were, what if it were a hotel? What if it were manufacturing? So if it were a hotel, I did the same kind of thing. I looked at the Hampton Inn parcels, that's on 2.75 acres, took that $5.4 million value, divided it out, took that value, applied it to the size, and did the calculation on the mill rate. That came to be just under $620,000. And then I did the same thing, what if it were manufacturing? Now, realistically, this is not a really large parcel. I used Harbo as the example. They're on 136 acres. This is 60 acres. But still, if it were that type of a facility, I did that same math. Took the value, assessed value, divided by the number of parcels, times this, and applied that mill rate for the county.
Question.
Yes.
Typically, would that property, if it did get developed, would it be in a TIF?
Most likely, yes.
So then we would, for 40 years,
well,
we would get zero.
20 years. But
40.
Yeah.
I'm being honest.
For most are more limited to 20 years these days.
Okay.
But even so, at that rate, it would be about $820,000. So that's what the county would be losing in property tax if a business went there.
And it wasn't in a TIF.
And it wasn't in a TIF. So then we looked at, what are our needs? What do we expect? So we talked to Human Services. They expected to need one public health sanitarian. So the reason for the sanitarian would be restaurant inspections and testing clean water, things like that. But they felt that there would be enough work there for one FTE. And we costed that at $103,000. Then a public health nurse for the additional need of increased need for immunization, communicable diseases, etc. Keep in mind, this isn't necessarily for the casino, but for increased 1,000 employees moving into the area if they're not already here, things like that. So an increase in population. The public health nurse we assumed to be about $113,000. Then an ESS worker for increased need for food share and other benefits. That's a lower cost, $81,000. And then four additional crisis staff. Two additional FTEs on second shift or a swing shift, and two additional FTEs on third shift. Cost of that, $400,000. And then institute costs if needed. That would be if there were people who were detained, regardless of residency, we have to cover the cost for an institution. That would be about $100,000. Aging and disability services, they expected about an extra half-time position for adult protective services, and additional funds for meals, emergency housing for those who may be victims of domestic violence or financial exploitation. And then they estimated assistance with rent, food, prescriptions in situations where customers have gambled more than they should or need assistance with basics. We figured that to be about $100,000. So Human Services came to $997,000, so just under $1 million. Keep in mind that this would not all happen at once either. It's not day one the casino opens, we hire 8 additional Human Services employees. No different than we determine need throughout the year as budgets came up, we would say, they would say, we're experiencing issues in this area, we need additional FTEs, and that would come through probably the budget process. I sincerely doubt there'd be any kind of emergency actions made here. Then we spoke with the Sheriff's Department. Now I gave them kudos on two different levels. The first was, when I called, they already had answers. My initial call was going to be, hey, can you look into this? When I spoke with Chief Deputy Miller, he had called out to Sacramento and he spoke to their sheriff's department and then came up with, after discussions with them, what the increase needs in the areas that they saw. His recommendation was for additional deputies. That would be, and I'll start with this, I think my narrative ended with this, but we do not, that area is zoned to city. So we are not the first responders. The first responders are the city for fire, EMS, and police. If they need backup, then it's the sheriff's department. However, the sheriff's department is tasked with patrolling the interstate. So additional accidents, drunk driving, things like that, those would fall on the sheriff's department. They expected that there would be increased crime rates as well as increased traffic patterns, and the estimates were based on the casino being located in a border jurisdiction, not our jurisdiction. If it were located in our jurisdiction, they expected the cost estimate to be double. The cost of the four deputies is about $548,000. Then they also expected two detective FTEs, and those would be specialized. Those would be specifically for human trafficking and financial crimes investigations. And then this one really surprised me, a canine position. And I thought a canine position, if a concert venue were to go in and there was any need to do any sweeps of the concert venue, the canine and handler would be needed for that. And if there were a lot of events that would be a regular occurrence, they would be needed. So there was, that was a little higher than a regular deputy because the canine costs as well. So that was $162,000. So the sheriff's department, outside of squads, so we do take home squads, and I identified that later. But operational costs, that was a little over $1 million. So that was $1.8 million. Now the subtotal that you see there is 2.6 and 2.8.
Wait, one second. With the sheriff's department, unlike human service, is it going to be like human services where we add them as needed,
yes,
or are they planning on being ready to go?
It is my expectation that it would be add them as needed.
Okay.
However, that
we
might
can
be
always
case,
use more patrols on the interstate.
I was
going to
say, we might not add four deputies. There might be an increase as soon as the casino is expected to open, because we will expect to see increased traffic flow at that time. But
okay,
those discussions really didn't happen. I just,
okay,
I didn't want you to think, hey, we're going to have $2.6 million added to the budget on day one. But I will also point out that although I have that subtotal of 2.6 and 2.8, I have next to it that the net win payments that are projected pretty much cover those costs, but there's almost like a duplication in my worksheet. So the first item is loss of property tax. But in a typical scenario, that property tax is what pays for these extra services that a business needs. So I included it in the total, so to get kind of a big picture, but the additional expenses are actually about $2 million. And as you look at the scenario, the calculations and the projection, you can see that the net win payments covers that $2 million, and they ramp up over time at when these would be more coming out. There are also a couple other things that are noted at the bottom. One is the additional cost of vehicles for deputies. That's a one-time cost, again, covered with the net win payment, the human services building, the logic behind that, and the IGA provides for the $2.6 million for the purchase of the building. And then possible public work improvements. So when Public Works was consulted, I think I said this in my write-up that's not on here, but the frontage road is owned by the state. It is not owned by the county. So if that needs to be expanded, that is not on the county, it's on the state. Additional man hours in plowing the road or maintenance to the road, that will be done by the county, but the state reimburses us for work done on that road. So that is a wash. The items that Public Works identified were increased traffic flow could put a need for a stoplight at 60th Street in the West Frontage Road, the cost of that, because the intersection would be a larger intersection, more used, would be about $1.2 million. A stoplight at the intersection of the West Frontage Road and 71st Street, that's a smaller intersection, and the expectation is most of the patrons will be exiting from 158 and coming down to 60th Street and the West Frontage Road, not the other way. Not that they won't come the other way, but less. So that is expected to be a smaller intersection, so the stoplight there would be $520,000.
Does the state help with that cost?
No. We are responsible for that. I don't know.
Do you know why?
I was surprised by that, but Shelley was adamant.
Yeah, I don't. It's on the frontage road, and it's in the crossroad is there.
And then,
but it was part of the MOU too. Remember, it was part of the MOU with the city.
The stoplights at
60th, the first one. So don't we have to? We have to
60th and the West Frontage Road.
Right, isn't that what that?
The MOU said that we have to cover it. Is that what you're saying?
Cover the stoplight. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that, but. And then the last item is Highway K, the West Frontage Road. 228th Avenue was already in the CIP. The expansion of that to four lanes was already planned as being part of phase three of the Highway K expansion. So we had dollars on that. We expect that to be $3.8 million. As I said last night, the tribe's attorney, Attorney Mohammed, has said if the traffic study says this work has to be done, then they have to do that work. If the traffic study doesn't identify it, but we say it needs to be done, then it's on us. But then that's where those sales tax payments and the infrastructure comes in. And as we noted, I think on Tuesday, the old IGA, it was the tribe's choice of what infrastructure things happened. In this IGA, we provide them of a list of the things that we're doing with that money, but it is the county's choice.
So it's obvious that our costs are covered in this spreadsheet with the NECIDS and the tribal sales tax.
Correct.
But then looking forward, it looks, I'm assuming you did a conservative projection numbers.
Yes.
You weren't like, oh. So my question is, after like these road improvements are paid for and the human services building and things like that, because we were told that we can't make this a windfall. These numbers are not,
they're not
a windfall for us.
And again, they're not much higher than our costs. And that other worksheet with the cost on it is actually, we provided that to the tribe to submit with their application as justification for the payments that they are making to us.
Okay.
And again, wages are going to go up. So these costs are what we're looking at now. Those costs will increase. And as the net win increases, that means more patronage. Does it also mean we need another FTE or things like that? So it is, I was asked by, I believe it was Supervisor Bashaw, do I see this break even or better or a windfall? And I said, it was like between breaking and a little better. Obviously, if we need more deputies, even outside of this, this helps us with the deputies needed for this purpose, but if we choose to use some of that extra money for another deputy, and so be it. I mean, those are choices that the board will make at that time.
This would help keep things up, keep things up the levy.
Correct.
If you use this,
it is a revenue source. Yes.
Okay, was there anything else you needed to add? Or?
I wanted to say one thing, and I know it's not probably my place to say this, but this has been mentioned twice, that the Spokane, Washington case that Attorney McLean mentioned. She was the one who first mentioned it. We asked her that question today, and this was her response. She said, there was not an agreement entered into when the decision was made. In fact, the county revoked the agreement that was negotiated years before and formally opposed the casino. It fought for years, believing that a casino underneath Fairchild's landing pad was dangerous and could jeopardize the future of the base. The point was that the BIA would approve a project over the strong objections of the largest jurisdictional government. It could reach an agreement, but it didn't want to because of the project. So that is the example that she was using, that the county opposed it. It's And they still approved it. And to be clear, if the board doesn't approve this, and the city does, I don't know if the Menominee would even proceed. But the concern, obviously, as the finance director, is if it proceeds and we have nothing to protect us, that is a concern.
Because we see the cost right now.
Yes.
Tim?
A couple questions, and maybe this one's for the sheriff's department. But it looks like they're looking to get 7 new deputies there. Is that true? Or is it 6? The K-9
bomb? It was seven.
So, and they're only asking for 4 squads?
That might have been my fault. It would be another $85,000 for an additional squad because the detectives would not be assigned a take-home squad. But
they would need a vehicle. Right.
I don't know if the detectives...
Okay, so that's just something that I'd like to see.
They have take-home cars as well.
Okay, so that would be about another $200,000.
So, and then...
6 squads?
No, 7.
7 with the... 7, right?
Yeah.
And squads are not going to last 17 years.
Correct.
So this is a one-time thing.
It's a one-time thing initially, and then, yes, it will become part of the CIP going forward. But again, there are revenue offsets for that.
Okay. And then on this chart here, the tribal sales tax, year 3, is that based on full functioning hotel and restaurant? Because that's a lot of money in the first year or in the third year.
I believe the answer is yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to double check. The answer is yes.
So that may not be, you know.
Correct.
That could be much less than that. And it could spread over a couple of years there. Okay. One more thing I want to say. I've been contacted by a ton of people, and not one of our constituents that contacted me is for this casino. So I think that needs to be represented here. They do have this perception that this is being run fast. I can't help that they have that perception. But that's how it is being perceived. And so when this, if this gets approved, that's going to be our reputation. I think that needs to be recognized as well.
All right, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Got 3 points here. First of all, I think for point one, due to the close proximity to I-94, I think most of the revenues probably would be from out of this area. I mean, that's why they're trying to get it on. It's not going to be our local citizens mainly financing this thing. And number two, just like the finance director and Supervisor Decker have said, you know, if we don't approve this and the city doesn't approve, we could be on the hook for paying these $80 million if we don't approve this ourselves. And number three, you know, we have Racine County waiting right down the road, and I'm sure if we turn this down, they would be most happy to find a spot with them.
Do we want to take a vote on this this evening? Is there an opposition order, or do you want to just continue the discussion?
I'd like to continue the discussion very briefly.
Go ahead.
Through the chair to Corp Council. Legislative Committee approved this yesterday.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And based on that approval, this will be docketed on the county board this coming Tuesday. Is that correct?
Yes.
That would occur regardless of what we do in committee today.
Yes.
If we made any motion to defer, to table, to reject, it still will be docketed Tuesday.
Yes, a committee has passed it. It would go to the board. Right?
Very good. That answers my question.
All right, is there further discussion?
I'd like one
point. Sorry, I need to go ahead.
So I just want to reiterate that
if the casino only opens up first, and say they don't build the hotel and the event venue, maybe they're not going to do it till 6 to 10 years down the road. We only get sales tax on food and merchandise. So if we're banking on sales tax, we would only get it, we'd get the estimated amounts if it included the hotel and the event venue right off the bat. So just to be clear on that. And then secondly, I wanted us maybe through the chair to Council Cardamone. I know the legislature has been talking about sports betting, and I've done a lot of research on the Seminoles and the lawsuits with sports betting. Now, I'm not talking about the application on the phone. I'm talking sports betting within the Kenosha facility. I want to make sure that we have a clause in there, or is it necessary to have a clause that if the state legislature does approve it? I just want to make sure it becomes part of the 1% wager, because right now in the IGA it says to be determined. And so is all betting, regardless of where servers are located? Because it just says Kenosha facility, it doesn't say tribal lands.
My understanding is that the server would have to be located on a tribal land for this to be covered, for it to be a bet, and then it would be part of the net win for the facility.
And do we need a clause, though, that states that should the legislature approve it? Is because there's a no-compete. So what if the state legislature says, okay, now we're going to open up sports betting, there's a no-compete that we won't be able to allow anybody else in Kenosha to compete against sports betting that's on tribal lands?
So you're asking, do we need something that specifically indicates that sports betting will be part of the net win?
Well, there's that, but also, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, but if sports betting, if the legislature makes it legal, do we have to pass something in the county to say that, no, we're not going to have sports betting because we have an IGA with the Menominee that says, no, they only, we're not going to allow anybody else to have sports betting. So it's just something to look at because it could happen. Questions for right now.
All right, very good. Is there further discussion here amongst the board? Yes. Jeff, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Through the chair to Patty, just had a couple of questions about looking over the financials. I spoke with, well, first off, from the presentation on Tuesday, one of the things that the Hard Rock representatives told us is that when a casino comes into town, it naturally brings things like carjacking, he referenced, sex trafficking, thefts, those type of things. With these numbers that the Sheriff's Department provided, do they feel that they would be equipped to deal with those things that are specifically going to come with the casino? Is that going to be enough to cover those?
That was
areas?
Those were their projections.
Okay.
As far as need after their conversations with Sacramento and the issues that they ran into after the casino opened there.
Okay. Secondly, I did talk to Rebecca Dutter just to kind of get her input. She said when she was approached by finance for their numbers, it was, I guess, back in July before they even knew what the scope of this was. And they didn't know how big it was going to be. They didn't know the current plans that we're looking at now. And I did, you know, after you provided the stuff, this document a couple days ago, the impression I got from her was like, we could get by with this, but we could always use more, is the impression I got from her, just not knowing. Some of the things she mentioned, there's a specialist there's a specialist license or specialist position that deals specifically with gambling addictions. It's different from alcohol addictions. That resource would be needed for our community if it's through training for our existing employees, or if it's a full-time position that we fund eventually to help deal with this, with the problem gambling that's going to be coming to the community, or if it's something that we outsource to a contractor that we work with to help deal with that. But that specifically was something that would be a need. Another thing that was mentioned that about the possibility of maybe a satellite office, I know it's been discussed loosely about having beefing up a satellite office out at 45 and 50 near the casino site. I'm just wondering if funding for that would possibly be able to be included, just to kind of help our response time so that we do have employees that are nearer to the site if they were called upon instead of driving from downtown. Do you know if that was all at all discussed when you...
It was not discussed, and I provided this list to John and Rebecca before I sent it out to the board, and they both said it looked good.
Everything was still settling out there, because they hadn't even seen the presentation yet. So
right, and I also, again, I will come back to, these are estimates, mm-hmm. and we didn't expect to hire 8 FTEs in human services on day one. But as things evolve and needs are determined, that's where the positions will come from. And maybe it's not 4 additional crisis staff because they find the calls are not as much as they expect, but something like that is something that they need. And developing a program for problem gambling might fall under what you were talking about with that specialist license, and there's that $75,000 that would help towards that as a match towards our contribution. Now our contribution is levy funded, assuming, but that is also part of what is there. And there is wiggle room from the projections of revenue versus the expenses. So there's room for additional things. We just don't know what all of those things might be.
Okay. Another question, the charitable purposes on behalf of the county. One of the needs that is going to be coming up is, I believe we should expect an increase of demand on local food banks, those type of services in the community. We're running out of money because of gambling, so they're gonna need food, right? So is that where this money will be going to, and why does it stop? Why is it only 10 years? Why isn't this going further than 10 years? Because I think, you know, after 10 years is probably, that needs definitely something to be there long term.
The original proposal was $850,000 for charitable purposes. Wasn't spread it out over 10 years. It was in later discussions that we talked about having it be over a period of time versus $850,000 today. Casino came into town, here's $850,000 and nothing in the future. Instead, it balanced that out over time. It didn't change the 10-year period, didn't change dollar amount, it just changed the time.
What are the criteria? I mean, I mentioned food banks. What are the criteria? What was being discussed as far as what that would go towards?
Again, that money is not coming to the county to decide what those are. Those are things that the tribe would decide, and I don't know if you want them to speak to that at all.
If they could provide context, that would be great.
On the charitable donation,
yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
I can't hear everything you're saying over there.
What would that encompass? What type of charitable donations would be made on behalf of the county?
I mean, obviously, your Humane Society, we may look at that. Could be the Boys and Girls Club. We could do 8 of them at $10,000 a piece 1 year, and one at $5,000 for different events or organizations in the community. So that will be determined, but...
Is there an application process from those funds? Could local charitable organizations come to you and put in an application for that money, or is it something that's going to be coming directly from you?
Well, it'll be coming from the...
Will people be able to ask for it, I guess is what I'm asking.
Of course, and Hard Rock has a reputation of not only helping fulfill those obligations, but we've had the honor to visit several Hard Rocks throughout the United States before we moved into this, and they have a lifelong record of being charitable donors in every community, in every state that they're in. So this is probably something that's going to go beyond that, but we're just taking care of the obligation first and foremost.
Okay. Anything else? I think Sam is asking to jump in.
I just talked to Rebecca.
She
said the additional crisis workers are the ones that are included on the sheet. She did say that the one that was with regards to the county center,
mm-hmm.
we did have a satellite there, and we didn't use it and closed up. But if the sheriff's department ever has, as we go through and do our remodeling, actually taking one of those crisis workers that are on the list and having those crisis workers actually work out of the Kenosha County Center.
So I just want to make sure we're allowing ourselves to giving ourselves that option if it's needed. It's a good location. It would be right next to
the casino. That's where my office is out of the county center, is one of those public health people that aren't there anymore because they weren't really utilized very well. So if you want to come see me at the county center, that's where those offices are. again, we're retooling some of that during the remodeling that's going to come forth in the next year. So.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate
You're welcome.
That.
I just wanted to clarify that the workers that are on the list are the ones that she was talking about.
Awesome, thank you. Just one other, and staying on the finance, how the estimated wins number. I know what numbers are we pulling from to guesstimate how much money? What are 1% of? Is it numbers that's provided from Hard Rock? Or did we check into those at all, or are we just simply taking their projections and throwing it into our calculator?
Yeah.
I would have some concerns with that. I mean, just going off of that, I mean, I think Governor, I mean, when Governor Walker killed the project in 2015, in my opinion, I think he probably saved the investors a lot of money, because if we followed that timeline, if that construction would have been constructed 2016 on forward, it probably would have just been opening or phasing in when COVID hit, and that would have ground everything to a halt, and we would probably have, you know, big mess on our hands if that had gone through when it was originally proposed. And, you know, it wouldn't have phased out to everything that it said it would be. So I would definitely urge caution with the projected numbers, because it was projected $800 million, and now the project is only looking like it's going to be $300 million, and we're putting 60 acres into a trust when they're not committing up front that they're going to use all those 60 acres. So I have a lot of concerns about that. You know, I would encourage, you know, the committee to look at, you know, if they're only putting the land in the trust needed for the casino, and when they're willing to bring the rest, then they can come back to us and ask to put the rest into the trust and go at it that way, or leave it out of the trust and let them run it on the sales tax. But if, you know, if they're not willing to commit up front that they're going to do everything at once, then we shouldn't be, you know, putting that in the trust, because we can't get it back out. So that was my only thought for just for the finance, as I was listening to the discussions tonight, and that's all I have for you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm looking at this projection here, and we have between 600,000 to 800,000 in the tax base, and as you mentioned, Patty, we can take that money and use it to reduce taxes like new construction, or we can use it to spend. We're not showing that enough money to earmark to spend, so that's a cushion. And this shows in year three, I know, whenever the casino does get built out, it shows $3.6 million in year three, when our total is $2.8 million with $800,000 available. It looks to me like there's plenty of cushion built into this for anything we just discussed in the fall. That's good. It looks like we're pretty solid here. It looks like we're solid. Financial projections are good. I do.
I just wanted to let the chair know that.
Mr. Pisa?
Thank you. Would like to speak as well. But
Mr. Pisa?
Yeah, from the tribe.
Yes.
Let me say something first, Mr. Pisa. I've heard several people comment about that this should all be done at once, and the tribe should be promising that all of this is going to get done at once. As a small business owner, we purchased a business and we couldn't do everything we wanted to do at once because we had loans to pay off. And if we purchased all the equipment that we wanted to do everything at once, we probably would have gone bankrupt because we couldn't afford the loan payments. You slowly build up your business. At first, when we bought the business, we did not do alignments because we couldn't afford a $20,000 alignment machine when alignments paid $80 an alignment. We saved up money and then were able to handle the loan payment, and we bought an alignment machine. We didn't do air conditioning for how many years because we couldn't afford a $10,000 air conditioning machine. We saved up, paid off some of our loans, were able to buy an air conditioning machine and pay off those loans. We didn't do coolant flushes. We literally just bought a brand new $33,000 alignment machine that we have been hobbling along our old one because we couldn't afford new payments. So it's very frustrating as a small business owner for people to say, you should do everything at once when you can't afford it. They are being wise with their decisions to make sure that they do not bankrupt themselves because they dig in too far and then they can't afford it. I know they hope to do everything at once, but they are being fiscally responsible, not promising the moon and affecting their success on this. And I know this based on our small business, and I'm sure many other small businesses do the same. That's why businesses build in phases, like Haribo. They didn't do everything at once. They have phase one, they have phase two, phase three. This is the same thing. They are being conservative with their plans and not promising the moon. So that way, if they go bankrupt, if they buy everything and they can't afford it, then they go bankrupt and then we're stuck. They're being safe with their money and with their resources to not hurt us. That's just what I want to say.
All right. Are there any other committee? Any other committee members want to say anything?
Yes, I think the reference to the building it all at once. A lot of that comes from the numbers that are being presented. That represents what we would be getting if it was all built at once. And I agree, it's not going to be. And so that makes those numbers a little less than what they would be. I would be surprised. I should say if it is built all at once.
All right. Any other committee members?
I would just like to clarify one thing with that. If the concert venue and the hotel don't start, yes, that affects that tribal sales tax number, but the net is from the casino.
Correct.
So as you're looking at it, if you want to, you know, spread that out further or whatever, the casino is the first thing that would happen, and those net win payments would begin to go in at that time.
The other thing relative to these forecasts is if the project is built later, then our cost declines because the traffic flow is later and all of these other impacts are less. So again, that shows how solid the forecast is. It aligns with the growth. So our cost would not be $2.6 million if the full project is not up and running. So the financial forecast looks solid in that respect.
Anything further from the committee, or do we want to take action? President of the group? Yes, the tribe?
Yes, and thank you. And we appreciate the questions. As a former several-term tribal chairman, I would have asked many of those same questions you are asking, and you're looking after your constituents. We understand that, and thank you. That's being responsible. When we look at financing, thank you for that comment. We understand that financing either could not happen or becomes so risky that it is more expensive in this mature market that we are in. If we are looking at trying to just put one parcel into trust and we do not have that control over it, we have to work this type of method knowing the banking that is available. We had learned that lesson and heard that and saw that from others. While there are mature, like Potawatomi here, they have the ability to not be in that same boat that we are. We have to look at, can we have that control? Can we go to markets and get something that we can afford? And if we can afford everything, that's great. That helps us. Menominee already has said we would take a decreased payment to the tribe, if anything, because we want to buy down and refi. That's what we have to do. That's exactly what we want to do. As much as that hurts us, we don't have the funding back home, but that's what we are looking at doing. So those comments are right on. A small business owner understands this. This is just at a higher impact, at a higher level. And please remember, if we're looking at construction during those first 2 years, that direct impact of all of that employment here and the indirect costing and the vending that needs to come in for supplies and equipment, I haven't heard that mentioned. please remember that's there also. First couple years, there's going to be a lot. And what about the traffic study? Mitigation needs to be done. Again, that's additional funding into the community. So we understand this. We're trying to be good neighbors with this. When you get the economic impact study, you will find research that's not us, that is a third party that has worked through this, and they actually bring this forward, and they have answers to things like do residential property values go down? I hate to ruin your, ruin the bubble because you haven't read it, but they do not. So we need to wait and see that if you have those concerns. When we look at all of the additional security and police, everything that Hard Rock, that's why we got Hard Rock. We want the cream of the crop. We want them here. And for them to keep that brand and reputation going, they expressly have the license plate identifiers, readers. They have the facial recognition. They have additional policing that they bring on. They have that coordination in use with other police force. They have these things in place expressly because this is their brand here. Now, we didn't buy into Gary, Indiana, even though my name's Gary. We didn't buy into that. We bought into what we want here, and what we want here has that ability for us to control that footprint and have those things here that we are asking for. You need to know, we come in here and we're not trying to shortchange anyone. We want this to be a win-win. That's what we're after.
All right, thank you. If there are no further comments from committee members, you have two choices, either nothing, and you press on with the agenda, or vote on a proposition that has not been moved.
I'm okay with pressing that.
Are we required to take a vote on that?
No.
No, we're not required to take a vote. I'm just, we've had a discussion. If you want to take a vote, this is the time to do it.
I'd make a motion to take a vote.
All right.
So I'll second it.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Roll call.
I vote aye.
But we'll be voting.
Yeah. He wants to take a vote on the proposition. And that's the...
Whether we're accepting the IGA agreement.
That's what it would be.
Okay. What's the motion? The motion is to take a vote on the proposition as it's worded there.
Right.
So you're moving to approve the resolution? Yes.
Okay. So, and I understand what you're doing, but you're moving to approve the resolution. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And who's making that motion?
I'm making a motion.
Okay.
And you made a motion, yes, to approve.
Yes, and who's doing the second?
Wait a second. You're making a motion to vote on it.
Well, yeah. That was the original proposition, to take a vote, so yes.
I don't think there's such a thing as moving the body
there
to take a vote.
I've
never heard of that.
Okay, all right. But that's in essence what we're doing, voting on whether we accept.
So the only way you can take position on it is by moving the resolution.
Okay,
whether you are for or against it,
right.
That's the way you get it before the body.
Okay.
So. I think that's what Bill Grady is doing, right?
So if we have a second, we can do it.
Yeah, I'll second.
All right, very good. We'll take a roll call on that, and I will vote no for the resolution. Okay.
Aye.
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 No.
Nay.
Nay.
All right, it fails 4-3. Let's move on with the agenda. The audit of bills, I did not see that. Did anyone do it? All right. Then we'll move on to the reports. Are there any?
Yes, there is a general fund report.
Barnett, she's not here.
No, so I can do it.
So there's no human resources?
So I'll make you one. The changes from last report to this report, looking at the top, there's an increase in the treasurer revenue surplus. This is the assisted income and investment income. So we have increased that projection by almost 1,000 based on the investment revenue that we're seeing. There's been some chatter about interest rates going down. So we recently had a conversation with our investment advisor who said that they are not going down. We talked to him about locking in, and he said, not yet. It reminded me of about that commercial where she's like, going to sell the new one, and every time her husband says, sell it, she's this old. That's kind of what I felt like.
I can't hear what's going on.
Okay, I'm sorry. If you want to take them and discuss, take them outside of this room so the committee can hear the report. Thank you.
Yes. All due respect, thank you, everybody. We appreciate your time and your consideration.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he was saying that in the short-term maturities that we would be investing, we could get as high as 7.5%, and it would be locked in shorter periods of time, 3 to 6 months. And then obviously they're watching, and we'll revisit with him in 3 months. If something goes to changing in the meantime, we'll reach out. We've discussed what we would lock in at a higher interest rate that we would need. So the $200,000 actually, in my opinion, would be conservative, but we'll go with it. There were no changes in the workers' comp or public works projections. There's a slight decrease in the tax delinquencies reserve of $50,000 as those numbers are dialed in. The rest of the items that are causing the increase to the general fund, there were no changes from this one to this. In the items causing decrease to the general fund, the sheriff's operating expenses deficit increased by about $100,000. Same reasons as have been given in the past, overtime and non-contract ending. Sheriff's operating revenue deficit also increased by $100,000, and that's due to the inmate revenue, as we've discussed in the past. Levy effect of GASB 96 is unchanged. Sales tax revenue deficit, we're projecting a slightly larger increase, about $50,000. We're still trending above last year, we're still trending below budget. We still have 4 months of sales tax revenue to run. The rest of the items on the list, down to circuit court, above that remain unchanged. Circuit court, county clerk, register of deeds revenue deficit, we've brought that to break even, which is an increase of $50,000. Circuit court surpluses are offsetting those register of deeds deficits that we've been seeing, so we believe that's going to be more of a break even. So those are the items that cause a decrease to the general fund, and as I said, the net has increased by $50,000. $725,000, still leaving us at close to 31% of our assigned general fund reserves. Did
it end? No. Through the chair of the director, Merrill, when we talk about the sheriff operating expenditures and sheriff operating revenue deficit, how much of that is directly attributable to prisoners, detainees?
That is the decrease in the revenue.
Right.
So $1.2 million. There's a couple of factors there, the federal marshal inmates, but also that probation employee from the state, and there's also a slight decrease in prison employment revenue. So I don't have an exact breakdown of how much of that is federal inmates. And as you may recall from the budget resolution language, that is something that we're working with on the sheriff's department on now.
Is there anything new developing on that? Because you had extensive conversations and we're hoping for updates as we go along. Do you have anything new to report in terms of what? Now, of course, I'm asking you to speak for the sheriff's department, but in your conversations with them,
I know that Farna and Matt from Finance have been working with Angela from the Sheriff's Department Finance in an application to increase the daily rates. I don't believe that that is completed yet because there's documentation they have to send along that they have.
Can we put that on next month's agenda, an update for the Sheriff's Department detainees and so forth? That's one of these things that we said we wanted to keep up on and want to make sure we're following through with that.
Okay. Anything further?
That's
your
pack.
That is
it.
All reports. All right, well.
Motion to adjourn,
if you like.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we'll see you Tuesday.